Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the epistle in Colossians 2. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is God's word. Oftentimes on a Sunday, there's a theme that kind of runs through the service. Maybe you caught it this morning. It was in all the hymns that we've sung so far. It was in the readings. It was in the intro that we read. It was in the collect. You might have noticed that theme of prayer, right? We sang, come my soul with every care. Jesus loves to answer prayer. We sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. We sang, take it to the Lord in prayer. We said in the intro it, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. God invites us to pray to him. Then we heard it in our first reading as well from Genesis 18. Abraham intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes to God and asks him to spare any righteous person in that city. And of course, the Lord's Prayer in our gospel for today. There's one reading we had today that doesn't really talk about prayer. That's the epistle. That's the one I'm going to talk about this morning. But it actually does have to do with prayer. You see, the second reading, this one from Colossians, is all about baptism. Now, I did a Lenten series in 2018, 6 weeks on baptism, but I know not all of you come to Lenten services. And we really need to talk about baptism and its importance in our life as God's people. And you know what? Baptism has everything to do with prayer. I want you to stop and think about in that Lord's Prayer. Now, we heard it from Luke this morning, and Luke doesn't even give us all the words of the Lord's Prayer. You go to Matthew to find the one we're used to saying. But even in Luke's gospel, we hear the same invitation. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, how is it that we call upon God? We don't say, oh God who art in heaven. We don't say, Lord Almighty who art in heaven. We say, our Father. Because you see, we can pray because God has established a special relationship with you and me. A relationship where he is the Father and we are his children. And children can go to their Father. They can speak with him. They can call upon that special relationship. Why is it that we have that relationship? Because we're baptized. Because we are God's baptized children. And in baptism, God put his name on us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, you're mine. He said, you're my child. So you see, baptism has everything to do with prayer. I know I can go to my Father because at the font, God made me his child. That second reading we heard today from Colossians 2 is all about baptism. You can pray to God the Father because you're baptized. Now, some people would argue with me on that. They'd say, well, look at Abraham. Abraham wasn't baptized. He was able to speak to God. They say, you know, you're saying things about baptism that you're not supposed to say. Well, that's not entirely true. Because Abraham did have a special relationship with his father. And it's referenced in that reading from Colossians 2. Do you know what the mark was that Abraham knew he could go to God and knew he had that relationship? It was circumcision. I'm going to assume most of you know what that is. Kids, you can ask your moms and dads. I'm not going to explain that from here. You know what that is? That mark that God commanded the Israelite males to put on themselves. Every child born on the eighth day of their life, that male child was circumcised. And that mark of circumcision meant that God had a special relationship with his people. With Israel. And interestingly enough, you know, it's in Genesis 17 that God commanded Abraham to circumcise himself and all the males in his household. And then in the very next chapter, chapter 18, we find the very first prayer recorded in Scripture. Now, there was probably prayer before that, but nowhere does Scripture record the words of a prayer until Abraham has been circumcised. You see, at that point, he knows he has a special relationship with God, and he is bold enough to go before God and ask him to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, today in our epistle, Paul takes circumcision and he compares it to baptism. Now, here I think it's important for you to know. I'm going to ask you to bear with me on something today, because I'm going to try and explain something that, I don't know, it would be easier if I was in Bible study and I had the board in front of me. But I don't, so I'm going to try and explain this here. A lot of the great things we learn in the Bible are there because of the grammar. I'm a total grammar Nazi. Is anyone else like me? If you guys put stuff on Facebook and you use the wrong "your" or you use an apostrophe improperly, I totally judge each and every one of you. So I'm just going to let you know that right off the bat. I confess that to you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But you can learn really interesting things in the grammar of the Bible. I've often told our Bible study students, and I think I mentioned this at a Wednesday night sermon once. You know what the most interesting words in the Bible are? They're the prepositions, the little words like in, with, through, by. Those words have a ton of meaning in them. I'm going to get back to that later. But I want to talk to you this morning about verbs. Please don't fall asleep. I mean, I know it's warm in here. It would be easy to just nod off, but this is good stuff. I want you to bear with me. Everyone knows what a verb is, right? In a sentence, every sentence has a verb. And that verb indicates the action that is taking place, right? So if I say, "Pastor speaks to the congregation," the verb is "speaks." It's the action that I'm doing to the congregation. I am speaking. Well, there's two kinds of verbs I want to focus on today. There's what we call active verbs, and there's passive verbs. There's a big difference between them. Okay, just don't fall asleep. This is really good. Active verbs are things that the subject is doing. So when pastor speaks, that's active. I'm the one doing the action. But if I said the congregation was spoken to by the pastor, that would be passive. The congregation isn't doing the action, even though they're the subject of the sentence. The action is being done to them. What in the world does that have to do with Colossians chapter 2? It has everything to do. Because you see, when the Bible speaks about baptism, it repeatedly, over and over and over, uses passive verbs. In other words, when you are baptized, the Bible says that God is doing things for you in baptism. And that's contrary to how a lot of Christians describe baptism and feel about it. They think baptism is sort of a coming of age process. It's where I give myself to God and I pledge myself to Him. And yet the Bible over and over is using this language that speaks about what God does for you. If you were to take your bulletin and look at Colossians 2, this would be like a fun homework assignment. Maybe go home and do this. Take a pen or a highlighter. See if you can find all the passive verbs in Colossians 2. I'm going to help you out here. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, that's active, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Those are all words describing what God is doing for you. He roots you. He builds you up. He establishes you. He teaches you. And then what? Where does all that happen? Later on in chapter 2. In Him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Notice all the things that God is doing to you in baptism. Rooting you. Building you up. Establishing you. Burying you with Jesus Christ. Circumcising you. That's colorful language there, but it's important. Our circumcision is baptism. We're not held to circumcision like they were in the Old Testament. And the thing about circumcision in the Old Testament, well, that was only good for half the population, wasn't it? And left out the women. But baptism is for everyone. And in baptism, there is a literal cutting off of the sinful flesh. And Paul talks about that sin being nailed to the cross with Jesus. God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. This stuff is so important, guys. I can't stress it to you enough. Your baptism is God's work in you. Your baptism is what God has done for you. Because in baptism, he has rooted you, planted you in Jesus Christ. And you are his. Now, a lot of people say, it doesn't make any sense. We're taught in the Bible, we're saved by faith alone. That's true. We are saved by faith alone. Let me put it to you this way. Which is the right answer to the question? Are we saved by faith? Are we saved by grace? Are we saved by Jesus? Or are we saved by the cross? It's all the same thing, isn't it? We are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. Are we saved by baptism? Yes, we are. Do you know the Bible actually says that? 1 Peter chapter 3, baptism now saves you. Not, Peter writes, baptism now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you catch the passive verb there? Baptism now saves you. Baptism's the one doing the action. You're the one God's doing it on. Baptism saves you because Jesus saves you, because faith saves you. And faith is given to you in the Word, given at the font. Chris said, but no, children can't believe. They can't have faith. Why not? If faith is something you and I do, no, children can't believe. But if faith is something God gives, he can give it to whomever he wants. Even the youngest. Just as an 8-day-old male child in Israel who was circumcised could be a part of God's family, so God makes you a part of his family through the waters of baptism. If you want proof that faith isn't something you do, just listen to Paul himself. Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Hear it again. You have been saved. Passive. And then Paul says, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You are God's child in baptism. That's the proof. God has planted you in his son, Jesus Christ. God in the Bible loves to use, Jesus uses all this language of farmers and sowers and planters and seeds and fields. Because in baptism, God plants faith in your heart and it grows. It flourishes so that you can do what Paul says at the very beginning of our reading. Walk in him. Remember how I said earlier that those little words are important? Fact, I remember talking about this about a year ago when we baptized Ethan. Remember, Brian? We talked about the importance of being baptized into Christ. Being baptized in Christ. It's all there in our epistle today. You are in him, in his death, in his resurrection. You know what that means? Well, where is Jesus right now? Well, he's in it with us in his word. He's in his body and blood in communion. We also know he's seated at the right hand of his Father. Well, if he's at his Father's right hand and you're baptized into him, where are you? You are with him, next to his Father, and you have his ear. That brings us back to prayer. When we pray, the Father hears us because we're his children and we're baptized into Christ. Thanks be to God for this gift of baptism. God's working for you and for me to make us his children, blessed with the privilege of coming to him in prayer. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.